Hello and welcome back to the Rested Culture Podcast. I am your host, Frank Ebersold. And yes, I know we just had a podcast a few days ago, but we found a little bit of information that we'd like to share on the Kremlin WikiLeaks connection. So stay right there. So in episode 16, I mentioned that the reason the WikiLeaks Trump connection was relevant was that WikiLeaks is actually a branch of the Kremlin. And as I can see it, that's a game changer, and it changes the texture of the Trump campaign's WikiLeaks relationship significantly. In episode 16, I also mentioned how Roger Stone admitted that they, and by that I mean the Trump campaign, had a back-channel WikiLeaks connection. I also mentioned that I think the whole wiretap brouhaha, that is, Trump's claim that he was wiretapped, it's a simple smokescreen, and that Mike Flynn was probably intercepted, probably, by talking to Russian operatives that we wiretap on a regular basis. Obviously, this doesn't mean that Trump was targeted with a wiretap, but whatever, it's a smokescreen, we know it. So the follow-up today on the palace intrigue with Russia is just to show you some of the reasoning that a strong link exists between Russia and WikiLeaks. So some of the listeners that we have asked a little bit about what that connection is. So to get to that link with WikiLeaks, I want to talk about some information that was gleaned from the blog of John Schindler. Now, John Schindler is an ex-intelligence analyst with the National Security Agency. He worked there nearly a decade, and his blog offers some interesting perspective on the Kremlin WikiLeaks connection. So to start this, let's kind of just go a little bit back to 2013. And I'm sure that everyone listening will probably remember the name of Ed Snowden. Ed Snowden was an IT administrator working in Hawaii and was a private contractor that worked for the CIA. And as we know, he's now living in Moscow after he leaked classified information to WikiLeaks. Now, the one thing I didn't realize was that Julian Assange of WikiLeaks was pivotal in getting Snowden from where he worked in Hawaii to Moscow, where he remains today. And one thing I didn't realize that, Ed Snowden is also under the protection of the FSB, which is Putin's intelligence service. Not only is Snowden protected by the FSB, but Julian Assange himself is also protected by the FSB. Recall the Julian Assange claim that he feared for his life. They're out to get me. Well, Julian requested that while holed up in the Ecuadorian embassy that he should be able to choose his own security service, which he did. And who did he choose? None other than the Russian FSB as protection. Now, to get Ed Snowden to Moscow, and evidently Ed wanted to go to Latin America, Nicaragua, something like that. But to get Ed to go to Moscow, Julian lobbied hard by telling Ed he would only be safe in Moscow. Now, Julian's close ties with the Kremlin are evident, and by putting Ed Snowden right there in Moscow, Julian was helping the KGB get their hands on everything Ed had copied from the CIA. Now, there are some stories out there that dismiss Snowden's whistleblower status and discuss how Ed Snowden, while working for the CIA in Hawaii, was having problems with coworkers and supervisors. So there might be motivation for what Ed did beyond what you've heard in the news. So if your heart is bleeding for this guy, I mean, you may just want to get a Band-Aid for it, because this latest hack announced days ago on the trove of hacking tools that were made public by WikiLeaks. Before that actually happened, Snowden was the big leak of the day back in 2013. So Snowden's leak that ended up right in the Kremlin's lap was very incredibly damaging to the U.S. in many ways. And sadly, Ed was sort of a pawn in this, and he's just an IT guy who really didn't understand the depth of the information that he stole. But the Kremlin did. The Kremlin even admitted that Snowden spilled the secret beans in an NPR segment from June 29th of 2016. And in that segment, there was a discussion that they had with a man named Franz Klintsevich. And evidently, Klintsevich is the equivalent to a senator in Russia. And at the time, he said in this interview, Snowden did share intelligence. This is what security services do. If there's the possibility to get information, they will get it. Isn't that nice? Well, the point here is that Julian Assange was pivotal in getting Ed Snowden right into Russia. Snowden never may be pardoned unless Trump does this. He had asked for a pardon back when Obama was in office, but he may never be pardoned unless Trump does us that favor. So what else has Julian Assange done for Russia? What has he done for Russia lately? Well, let's start with this. Julian has hosted several segments on Russia Today, 12, I think, to be exact. He's visited Syria, and he's met with Bashar al-Assad while Russia was there in helping Bashar al-Assad. And he was there, evidently. Julian was there, he said, to show solidarity with the Syrian people. And this was all happening, sadly, at the same time Assad was killing his own people. Nice, isn't it? Isn't that nice? You know, and if that's not enough, before any of the Snowden stuff took place, WikiLeaks said that they had compromising information on Russian intelligence. But folks, that's when the Kremlin-WikiLeaks friendship began. And miraculously, nothing was leaked pertaining to Russia. In fact, going back to 2012, WikiLeaks refused to release documents that revealed a massive transfer payment from Russia to Syria. And I'm sure that many of you out there will recall. Remember the Russian or the Panama Papers? Remember that story? Well, one big story that was a part of that Panama Papers information grab was showing how billions of dollars miraculously wound up in shell companies controlled by one of Mr. Putin's closest friends, of all things, a cellist named Sergei Roldugin. But what did WikiLeaks do with that information? Well, it didn't get released, folks. They only released a flurry of tweets undermining the report as a part of a smear campaign from leftist billionaire George Soros, of course. And Assange himself said that it was clearly a conscious effort to go with the right along with the Putin bashing. Such a friend of Putin, such a good friend. And all this, according to a story from the DailyWire.com. So meanwhile, here we are back in the campaign last summer, and Trump is shouting, "I love WikiLeaks," as the information on the DNC hack just flowed and flowed almost daily. You know, every politician, it seems, just loves power, and Trump is no exception to this, is he? That's kind of an understatement. Maybe Trump didn't care about the Russia WikiLeaks connection at the time. I mean, why would he? They were helping his election. They were helping. Again, it may not be the reason Trump won the election, blah, blah, blah. We know that, obviously. But it sure as hell didn't hurt things, did it? So when you hear things like the back channel to WikiLeaks, like Roger Stone said they had, that kind of connection becomes a little bit more material, doesn't it? You know, it's kind of funny, though, how the conservative chinwaggers have all gone nose blind to all of this. All they care about that is the fact that Trump, their old boy Trump, is in. How or whatever connection there is to Russia doesn't matter much to them, but it does to us, doesn't it? Of course. So stay tuned. Coming up here, we've got the House Intelligence Committee Russian probe hearings are set to start on March 20th. March 20th. So stay right there, folks. Are you all excited about this new healthcare plan the Republicans have cooked up for you today? Just today. We've got more on that coming right up next. Well, let's all put our hands together and clap for the new health care bill. Woo-hoo. Woo-hoo. We're all excited about that one. Well, it promises less for more money. Well done, guys. Well done. Gotta love it. You know, the thing that bugs me most about this is that I keep hearing, let's do what we were elected to do. Repeal Obamacare. That's a noble effort, isn't it? Isn't that a noble effort? Very, very noble. What they don't understand is that what we as Americans want is affordable care and more choices in our care. That's it. That's what we want. Now, if getting that done means subsidies like Obamacare has today, well, then so be it. You know, we as Americans aren't saying that this healthcare model that makes insurance companies rich was ever our idea to begin with in the first place. I mean, this whole thing with the insurance companies, I mean, that's the program we as Americans have been fed, jammed down our throats for the past 100 years or who knows how long. I mean, at least. We just want affordable care and more choices in where we get that care, period. That's it. It's not rocket science here, guys. You know, all you Republicans out there sharpening your pencils trying to come up with this, that, it's not that difficult. It doesn't have to be. You're making it hard. I mean, it's not too hard to grasp, is it? That all we want is affordable care and more choices. Fix what we have. It's all right there. Fix it. That's why we're angry at the town halls. I mean, you don't get it. And until you get it, we're going to be angry. It's going to keep getting worse. And don't tell us that your mandate in repealing Obamacare is to get rid of the subsidies, as so many of the Republicans love to call it. You know, they love to call it an entitlement, these subsidies. Don't tell us that's your mandate. You know, it's a bunch of crap because we just want our healthcare to be affordable. And if that means subsidies, then go for it. Like I said, a million and a half times. I mean, don't tell me you're going to cut taxes for the rich. Don't tell me you're going to build a multi-billion dollar wall. Don't tell me that you're going to throw billions upon billions more into defense until you give us healthcare that's affordable and provides Medicaid coverage for those making less than a paltry $15,000 a year. Nobody wants to hear it. You know, how you make America great is by starting with Americans and starting with their health care. That's how you do it. Not rocket science. Well, we have a program today that already has the structure we need. The IT backbone is already there to provide the framework for selecting the care. It's all right there. And the process works just fine. The Obamacare process, the IT backbone, the structure that's cost God knows how much, it's just fine. The structure's fine. Talk about wasteful just to throw it away. Just fix it. Fix what we have. We want more choices and affordable rates. Leave the rest alone. Don't make healthcare a bigger job than it has to be, for God's sakes. So part of what you see happening is just selfishness with some of the Republican politicians. I mean, not all of them. We've said this. I've tried to give credit where credit's due. Some Republicans have expanded Medicaid. Hats off. Kudos to them. But what we're seeing on a large scale is just selfishness with some of the Republican politicians. They take the simple message of us wanting affordable care with more choices, and they translate that into a mandate to get rid of Medicaid for the poor, get rid of subsidies. That's not what we're saying. And how can you not expect Americans to be angry about it? How can you not expect that? Okay, well, here's an example. On Wednesday, March 8th, on CNN, Erin Burnett's show on CNN, March 8th, she had this congressman on there. His name is Ron DeSantis from Florida. I know all the wackadoos come from Florida. I was born there myself. I hope I don't qualify. But old Ron DeSantis here, he's part of what you call, what they call themselves as the House Freedom Caucus. Doesn't that sound nice? Doesn't that sound nice? Well, it's not really that nice. It's an anti-Medicaid, anti-subsidy bunch of slugs is what it is. And before Ron DeSantis was on, Erin Burnett interviewed a middle-aged Republican woman who had voted for Trump. She later lost her job and the insurance that went along with it. So sadly, after that, she naturally, you know, after losing insurance, the worst happened. She was diagnosed with cancer and had to go on Medicaid. But folks, here's something interesting. After going on Medicaid and getting the care that she needed, by the way, she wasn't denied. Republican congressman, she wasn't denied. After getting the care she needed on Medicaid, she was able to get chemotherapy that she needed to beat the cancer and stay alive. Let me repeat, she stayed alive. She's living today because of Medicaid, the same program that you're beaten down, that you're saying is nothing more than a subsidy, needs to be repealed, and you're trying to stamp it out. That's why she's alive, because of Medicaid. She'd be dead without it, which, by the way, is a story that's heard across the nation daily. We've heard that many, many times, where people are alive today because of Medicaid. But folks like Ron DeSantis, Congressman Ron DeSantis, and the rest of the House Freedom Caucus are simply tone deaf. They're tone deaf on keeping Medicaid. It's sad. When Ron DeSantis came onto CNN on that show, Erin Burnett show, he gave the usual spiel about trying to do what he was elected to do. And conveniently, he mentioned that, oh, I didn't hear all of the lady's story about her cancer, but he still insisted that Medicaid should be repealed and not expanded. You know, folks, that poor lady or anyone else like her that makes less than $15,000 a year, they don't deserve health care, according to Ron and the rest of the House Freedom Caucus. Bunch of slugs. And to me, yes, of course, they do. They do deserve health care. Americans shouldn't be treated like that right here in America. We the people are sick and tired of insurance plans that make billions for insurance companies. Maybe, just maybe, we should expand Medicare or Medicaid for all, because that's the one thing that the government is doing effectively, and they've been doing it over 50 years, and they've been doing a fine job at it. It's not the perfect plan, but it's working, and they've negotiated the best rates. So it's not our choice as Americans to use insurance companies. We didn't decide that was the golden path here. You know, these insurance companies, we didn't pick them. These are the guys that rake it in at our expense. I mean, that's what the politicians have been feeding us. I mean, how many of these politicians are on the take from these insurance companies that are making billions off of Americans? Well, in case you were just wondering, in 2016 alone, insurance companies in total, they spent $146 million lobbying our friends, the politicians in Washington, to get their way. You know, so that $146 million that they spent lobbying, that's on top of the billions of dollars that these insurance companies made yearly. I mean, if you're wondering if that's true or not, just look at their stock prices to illustrate. Since 2009 through 2016, the Dow's gone up over 250%, so on. Well, that's irrelevant. Humana's stock has gone up at least 1,010%. So please, it's not America's choice here to make insurance companies rich, but that's exactly what's happening under the past and newly proposed Republican plans. That's what keeps happening. Making the insurance companies rich. How can someone, if someone could please explain to me, how is that the best way forward? It would seem logical to me to either expand Medicare or Medicaid for all and come up with a rate that's based on income. But that makes too much sense. I mean, after all, what's the incentive for politicians here? I mean, they already have great insurance from the government. No matter what happens to you in this Obamacare repeal, my friends, no matter what happens to you, the politicians aren't going to get hurt with their health care. How's that, you say? I mean, how could that happen? How could they not get hurt? They're repealing our health care. How could that not happen? Well, take a look. Today, members of Congress can buy any health insurance that they choose. And if they want about what comes to about 75% of that premium for the insurance, if they want 75% of that premium subsidized, they can go through Obamacare today. But wait, there's more. They get more. The lawmakers also get, and they will continue to get, limited service from the office of the attending physician in the U.S. Capitol for a flat $600 fee. So it's basically an in-house clinic that's staffed with doctors, nurses, technicians, and pharmacists, and doctor specialists, all covered by a flat $600 a year fee. Isn't that nice? And if they do happen to need, for that $600, if they do happen to need more detailed treatment, and it's necessary, members of Congress have, they've got access to military facilities and all the doctors that go with that for the same $600 a year. That's pretty good, isn't it? So what's the incentive? I mean, what's the incentive for these Republicans to fight for your care? I mean, what's the incentive for them to fix Obamacare? No more subsidy for you Americans. Too bad. So sad. Just deal with it. No wonder people are furious. So some are wondering here, you know, what happens if they repeal Obamacare? If Congress repeals Obamacare, what's going to happen? What's going to happen to them? Well, don't worry about it as if you were. Don't worry. Members of Congress are still A-OK. They're going to fall back on insurance provided by the Federal Employees Health Benefits Plan. And again, still 75% of their premiums are going to be covered by you and me, the taxpayers. And they're still going to get all the perks for that $600 flat fee that they have access to. All that's going to stay. So no wonder Americans are angry that they want to throw away the Medicaid expansion. It's no wonder Americans are angry that the latest plan, just approved today by Republicans, means less care and at a higher cost for you and for me. So keep giving your congressmen or congresswoman hellfire and brimstone until they fix what we already have. Cheaper insurance with the same coverage and more choices. It's that simple. It's that simple. Well, folks, I want to thank you for the listen, and as always, feel free to contact me at therustedcultureradar@gmail.com. That's therustedcultureradar@gmail.com. And we'll be back again. We like it that you listen to us. We encourage that, of course, here, The Rusted Culture Radar. We'll look for you again next week. Thanks for joining.